This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Hamabam. We have a very interesting alumna shasugya today. We did the Gemara quickly last week. Let's just review. The Mishnah said on Kuvtes Amud Beis that someone who went overseas and he lost a road. Basically, somebody had rites of passage to an interior field. He had an interior field surrounded by other field. He had rites of passage, and now the road was lost. So Admon says, look, he definitely has rites of passage, but he goes on the shortest one. The Chachamim say no. He either has to buy it, or he has to take a helicopter. But he lost it. It's lost, so either he has to purchase a new one, or he has to take a helicopter. So Gemara says, Admon is saying, very good. The guy definitely owned rites of passage. Let him at least have the minimal rite of passage. So Gemara says the case is he's surrounded by four different people. Each one says, now get lost, get lost. The other guy, you had rites of passage with the other one. You had rites of passage with the other one. So Gemara says, if that's the case, why does Admon say that he tells the guy, why does Admon say that he has rights to minimal passage? Why can't each one push off the guy? So the Gemara says that if it's four different people, whether they bought it from four people or whether they bought it from one person, then definitely they could push him off and say, go get rights of passage elsewhere. However, we're talking about a case where one buyer bought it from four buyers. So originally the four buyers had the rights to push him off. Now the one buyer, he could tell, look, Mimanav Shach, you owe me a place to walk through. So Admon says, very simply, that the owner of the interior field says, Darka Isli Gabach, I definitely have rights of passage. The Rabbanan hold, no. Rabbanan say, look, the owner of the field says to the guy, if you keep quiet, good. And if you don't keep quiet, meaning if you keep quiet, and I'll sell it to you for a good price, good. Otherwise, I will return the shtar to the original owners, and then you won't be able to get anything. So if you want rites of passage, I will reverse my purchase from the four buyers. They will then have four fields, and they'll push you away. So that's the logic. We're talking about one owner who bought from four different owners. So Admon says, look, you could tell the one owner, I own rites of passage. And the Chachamim say, no. The Chachamim say that the one owner could say, either keep quiet and buy it off me for a decent price, otherwise I'll reverse my purchase and they will be able to push you off. There are three mahalchim in the Rishonim to understand what the argument of this buyer is in saying, I can return the purchase, reverse the purchase, either be quiet, or I will reverse the purchase. Rashi learns it's a threat. Rashi says like this. The Lashon of Rashi is, you see where this my icon is? Ishaskis shaskis. If you're quiet, be quiet. And what does that mean, if you're quiet, be quiet? V'oizel gabach. And either be quiet, and I will give it to you for a cheap price. V'oizel gabach. I'll give it to you for a cheap price. Kishatikna hadarach mimeni. When you buy the field from me. Ishaskas shaskas. If you're quiet, be quiet, and I'll give it to you for a cheap price when you buy it from me. Otherwise, if you don't want to pay me a good price, or if you don't want to pay me a reduced price, I'll reverse it, and you'll have to pay a full price. So, according to Rashi, this is just a threat. This is just a threat. This is, again, the case is one buyer bought it from four buyers, and this is basically just a threat. He's saying, yeah, you're right.
He has to do that because he knows he has to give them.
Good, good. he's basically definitely very guilty over here, or at least he's acknowledging, look, in this surrounding field that I own alone, you definitely have rights of passage, and you're claiming it from me. So I'm letting you know, either be quiet and buy it off me, I'll give you reduced price, otherwise you're going to have to pay full price. So you're saying, is he acknowledging? Well, he may just be acknowledging what the claim is. The interior field is claiming, I definitely have rights of passage. So he's saying, listen, either keep your mouth closed and buy it off me for a reduced price, or you're going to have to pay full price when I reverse it. Rashi learning, it's a threat. It's a threat to get the guy to pay a reduced price. Otherwise, because you're saying otherwise you reverse it and you'll pay him a full price. Let's contrast it to the way the Rush learns. The Rush learns that this is not just a threat. There's a din that when in monetary law, the ability to be able to do something is like you did it already. So this is not a threat, buy it for me for cheap. It's not, don't buy it for me cheap. You must buy this off me for full price. Because since I can reverse it, it is as if I did reverse it. Says the Rush. The Rush says, Kedamrinam perk basra de ksubas, Misha avdolai derech sadeo bechad, de osi mikai charba, someone who lost a road in one bechad, by one that comes from the koyach of four, he should buy a road for 100 mana or fly in the air. Right? That's the Gemara. The Gemara says somebody who lost the road, and the case is one person bought from four people, he either has to pay 100 or fly. Why? Mishim da amar le ishaskis shaskis v'iloi mahadar nishon l'marayo. To like Pirish Rashi, not like Rashi explained, Shapirish Hassam. Either buy it and I'll give you a cheap price. I guess the Rush's question is, the Mishnah doesn't say you pay a cheap price. The Mishnah says you pay 100 mana. 100 mana is a full price. Here, look in the Pilpula Charifta. You know who wrote the Pilpula Charifta? I think the Tosfos Yomtiv is a commentary on the Rush. He says, if the Mishnah says you pay 100 mana, mashma kamoisha yirtzamoicha, that's mashma, like the seller wants. Like the seller wants. So, not like Rashi learns, either keep your mouth closed and buy it for a reduced price. No. Keep your mouth closed and pay full price. Why? Kol davar shiyach litain, anything someone could claim, paskinon beki ilu kvar, asoy, we consider it as if it was already done. V'chein mashma hachi. Hacha, this mashma this way over here. Afilu iloi ta'an ishas kisu anan tanilan le. Even if he doesn't claim, be quiet, we'll claim it for him. Upaskinan le adin kach. We will rule this way. Dekula nichnasu tachas abaylam. Lekeach bazah. They all enter in the place of the owners. L'loikeach b'zeh achar zeh. K'may l'shloi sh'mnei adam ke'achar. I'm not sure what that line is saying. The way the Rush learns is that any claim that someone has the ability to make will be considered as if he did it. So it's not a threat. Oh, if you don't give me a cheap price, I'll make you pay full. It's, I could reverse it, therefore I have that right. Anything I could do, I have that right.
It'd be like you're giving him a tremendous deal, because it's as if already the previous owners already have it, and he's giving him a reduced price.
No, according to the Rush, I'm not giving you a reduced price. I'm making you pay in full. And the reason I can make you pay in full, because since I could reverse it, and then you would never get the feel, the road, it's considered as if it was reversed already and you can't get the road unless you pay full. Rashi learns it's a threat. Pal, either give me a reduced price or I'm threatening you that I could reverse this whole thing, and then you will have to pay a full price. That's how Rashi learns. The Rush learns, since I have the ability to reverse it, it's as if I did, and therefore you must give me a full price. And the Rush says that that's mashma in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, or give me 100. 100 implies a full price. Shita Mekubetzes has a different take on this. The Shita learns, Al Keinir Lemoiri Harav, Dahai Lishna de Kamar Viloy Madarna Shtori Lemarayu, Lav Dafka. El Hachi Kamar. Doesn't mean otherwise I'll return it. He says, Im Tirtzel Aniach Shalay Yit Be'eni Klum Hare Toiv. If you want to leave it be and give up your passage and not claim anything, great. V'iloy, otherwise, Mahadarna Shtar Lemarayu, I will return the Shtar to the owner. Since that if he would retract you would not be able to gain anything in din, meaning since if I would retract you wouldn't be able to get passage. Hashtanami afa gavdoi hadarna. Now also, even though I'm not retracting, loy matzis hashtuya dina b'hadoi. Here's a clincher. Dema mocha rishon l'sheni. What does the first guy sell to the second guy? Kol zchus shetav liyadai. Whatever merit he has. What the Shita Mekubetzes is saying differently than the Rush. The Rush says, any claim I could make, it's like I did it. Shishka Mekubetza says like this. When four owners owned it, they not only owned the field, they also owned the ability to tell the guy, scram, get lost, you don't have rights of passage. Right? Originally, when the four owners owned it, part of their ownership was their ability to say to the guy, hey pal, you don't have rights of passage, I'll push you up to the next guy. So now when the buyer bought it from all four, he's buying that right to be able to tell the guy, scram, skadoodle, you don't have rights of passage. He bought that right. Lav dafka, it's because he says, I could revert it back to the four original buyers. What that means is since he bought it from four buyers, he acquires whatever rights those original buyers had. And the original buyers own the right to tell the guy, you don't have rights of passage. So now, the new buyer owns that right to tell the guy, you don't have rights of passage.
Can we say that they only have that right as individuals, not as a group? As individuals, they have that right to tell this grant, but as a group, now with one owner, that right disappears.
So Mike is asking very good. Did those four original owners really have the right to tell the guy to scram? It's only they did individually, but they didn't. But even as a group, could the guy have gone to the four of them as a group and say, hey, Mr. Group here, one of you guys owes it to me, you guys decide and let me know who's going to give it? They could say, go get lost, we're not a group. So you're saying, well, that's only because you're not a group, but this guy is a group. So he can't, even them, you're saying, if they would have been a group, they wouldn't own that right, right? That's what you ask. That these four individuals, if they would have been a group, they didn't own that right. So now that he is a group, he should also not own that right. So that's what I want to end off with. There's a famous question of the Nesivas HaMishpat. And I think it's very similar to what Mike is asking, if it's not mamish exactly what he's asking. Let me say it over. I wasn't 100% sure, but now that the way you asked it, I think this is what his question is. The Nesivas HaMishpat Choshen Mishpat Simen Kuf Memchas. Kashali, look where my icon is. Gabe Chad Dekan Me'arba. Kivan Shekarka. Okay, his question is like this. Could you steal land? No. Karka in an exelus. If you steal land, it's always in the domain of the owner. Vare Ben Sadoisav. Among these four fields, karka shena shalai. is land that does not belong to whoever's occupying it. So, mehichitesu lo yischayev lahachzer. Question. This one buyer, does he have land that doesn't belong to him, right? The current occupier, does he have land here that doesn't belong to him? Yeah, there's land here that definitely belongs to someone else. Is that true though? I'm not so sure about that. Maybe that someone else lost it already when it was owned by four owners. Okay, let's see how he asks it. Uma bekach shekanuz chos me'amarcher, who cares that the one buyer bought the rights from the seller? Atum echad kana behemos meharis bnei adam. Let's like this. Reuven bought animals from Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. V'yavoyu edim shebehem aches gezula. Edim come and say, look, one of these fields, one of these animals is stolen. But we don't know which one. Rak she'en makirin bebehem ha'gezula. Machmet shenis arva b'neim koidim yesh. It got mixed up before yesh. So there's a buyer. Who bought many animals. Echad kana behemos mehar b'mnei adam. And Edom come and say, one of these animals, do they mean one of the animals that you bought, or stam, one of the animals in your pen is stolen? Sounds like one of the animals here is stolen, so he definitely has to return it. V'chilo yischayev l'hachzer, would he not be chayev to return it? Kivan shadavar she'ino shalayim u'rav v'shalay. Something that doesn't belong to him is mixed in his own. Is that the case over here? Is this one owner, is he in possession of something that doesn't belong to him? Why can't we argue that since when four owners owned it, they had the right to tell the guy scram, then they own the right to tell the guy scram, so when they sold it to the one guy, he doesn't have any land here that doesn't belong to him. In the booklet here, they bring from Rav Shimon Shkap that anyone who is zoicha bedin as a muchzak, it's not a safek, it's a din that it's yours. So the chachamim hold that since they could say scram, they're koine this passageway bedin, and mamela the koine is zoicha in the darach. I guess the question is like this: the four buyers didn't own the road, they didn't own the darach. It's just they don't have to give it to the guy. They never owned it. They just didn't have to give it to him, because they could say each one could push him off. So the question is, then how can this one owner hold on to something that doesn't belong to him? So Rav Shimon Shkap is saying, well, the Chachamim hold. It's not that they could just tell the guy, scram. Once they have the right to say to the guy, scram, that din grants them ownership over it. And therefore that ownership is transferable. I mean, don't view it that they could, when you could say to a guy, get lost, scram, you can't prove it belongs to you. That's not just a that's how you could act, that's your hanhaga that you could have, that you could tell the guy, scram. It's much more than that. It's more than a hanhaga that you could have. It is literally, therefore, you get ownership. A hanhaga satar, like mukhsuk or chazaka, gives you definitive ownership over it. Okay, so today we learned three mahalchim in the Gemara, that what does it mean? That the one owner could say, either, if you want to be quiet, otherwise I'll return it. Rashi says it's a threat to get a discounted price. The Rosh says, since you could say it, it's like you said it. And the Shita Mekubet says, that's just a way of saying that since the four guys could have pushed you off, I acquire that right. The Nesivos And Mike was asking, well, but they didn't really own it. It's just each one individually could push him off. But now he owns it as a group, so he shouldn't have that right. And the answer we tried to give was, if each one could push him off, that's not just something they could do, that grants them a bialis over it, and that's transferable. Yeah, okay, everyone, that's what we got today.
That right doesn't resurrect, basically. It dies off, and that doesn't come back to life when there's one owner. Is that what he's saying?
The four owners, their ability to say, go get lost, is not just something they could say, is an ownership over the path that they each have, that they have. And that ownership, they could transfer. They could transfer the ownership, even though the reason for the ownership perhaps doesn't apply, but it's an ownership they have. Once they own it, they could transfer it.
And it won't come back to life when there's one owner.
What do you mean? What should come back to life?
I'm saying that they were able to kill off that fact that there was a path, but since they can all say scram, it's like they killed off that right.
The ability to say scram makes them the owners.
And it doesn't come back to life per se. That right doesn't come back to life when it's one owner. I would say maybe it comes back to life when it's one owner.
What do you mean come back to life? You mean they lose it, not come back to life? You mean they lose
it? It doesn't come back. I'm saying it doesn't come back to life when there's one owner. It's gone. It's, you're never going to have that right ever again.
The right of the guy who has passage?
Right. Like he can never claim that.
Because he lost ownership. He lost
from the lashon of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
That the person still has a claim. According to Shimon Shkak L'Chayra, what Michael is saying is that it's lost, right? So then the Chacham should say that he's lo yachal lika. You know, it should be a lashon of that he has no right to the passage at all. It's mucha from the lashon that he has some sort of right to take. You have a right, but you have to pay a large sum. According to Shimon Shkak, it's gone. It's like it's like there was a sale. It's not his anymore.
So he would read the Mishnah, Yikno le'derech me'amana. Either he pays full price, right? And Rashi learns it's basically a way of giving him a cheaper price. But let's say according to the Rashi or the Shita, you basically say he's got to pay whatever it costs on the market or lots of luck getting there. I guess that's the way the Mishnah is saying, you gotta buy it as if you were buying this on the market in the first instance. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a good day. And probably, I guess we'll do Monday, Tuesday. So Monday, Tuesday this week is Kuf Yud.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.